The Truth News Network.
Standing tall before the storm, TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Guts, glory, Dan.
And just what do you think could be that storm that is confronting us? Could it be impeachment? Well, now that Nancy Pelosi says she's going to pass those articles of impeachment over to the Senate probably this week, maybe that's the storm. Or could it be the storm that's been hanging over American politics for some months now? That is Ukraine. What is the fixation on the nation of Ukraine as it pertains to the United States? We're going to get into that. Let me just tell you this. There is corruption in Ukraine, and it does involve the United States of America and Americans. Details with proof are just ahead. You know, it's surprising to me that the media would not even touch the self-professed blackmail of the former Ukrainian president by former Obama Vice President Joe Biden. I'm sure you remember these few sentences at a public gathering in which Biden not only confessed to his blackmail, he bragged about it.
I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another billion-dollar loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "No," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Now, just remember this. Joe Biden was named by Obama to oversee the massive corruption in Ukraine for the Obama administration. Biden spent much time there, purportedly to concentrate on the certainty that Ukraine had been, among other things, aggressively trying to interfere in the U.S. 2016 election. And then there's the Burisma energy mystery. Folks, only foolish people believe that Biden's son Hunter received a seat on the Burisma board of directors as a result of his expertise in oil and gas. Hunter Biden knew and knows nothing about the energy business. Yet, he served on the board, was paid $83,000 a month to serve on that board of the largest Ukrainian oil and gas company in that country. The only explanation is that he got that position only because he was the son of the U.S. vice president. Why is it that today's media pile on all those who today mention the Ukraine election interference story when those claims were accepted as fact by all a few years ago? Now, we'll get into those reasons in a bit. Today's news outlet leaders then touted Ukraine's election interference on par with that of Russia. But today, they report that all those who believe Ukraine's 26th election interference happened are nothing more than conspiracy theorists. Like Chuck Todd of NBC's Meet the Press, he actually laughed on air at Senator Ted Cruz for believing Ukraine tried to interfere in U.S. elections. Even FBI Director Christopher Wray said there was no indication that Ukraine meddled in the 2016 elections. He said this, "We have no information that indicates that Ukraine interfered with the presidential election." In addition, U.S. Senators Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, and Mitt Romney, Republican of Utah, both state there was no Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election. But a Ukrainian court, after exhaustive investigations, a Ukrainian court found that Ukraine did attempt to impact the U.S. 2016 election on the behalf of Hillary Clinton. These denials, even from several Republican senators, are a little bit more than just odd. Why? Well, in light of the approximate 7 stories from reputable news sources that have no leanings toward the Republican Party, all ran investigative stories chronicling the 2016 election interference by Ukraine. Let's look at a couple of those. The Financial Times reported this on August 28th of 2016. Quote, "The prospect of Mr. Trump, who has praised Ukraine's archenemy Vladimir Putin, becoming leader of the country's biggest ally, has spurred not just Mr. Lyshenko, but Kiev's wider political leadership to do something they would never have attempted before: intervene, however indirectly, in a U.S. election. That's from the Financial Times. And then there was Politico, January 11th of 2017. They reported this: Ukrainian government officials tried to help Hillary Clinton and undermine Trump by publicly questioning his fitness for office. They also disseminated documents implicating a top Trump aide in corruption and suggested they were investigating the matter, only to back away after the election, Politico reported. They also reported that a Ukrainian-American operative who was consulting for the Democrat National Committee met with top officials in the Ukrainian embassy in Washington, D.C., to expose ties between Trump, Paul Manafort, and Russia. And then let's go back to the Financial Times, a second story, December 22nd of 2016. The Financial Times reported Russia used Ukrainian technology to hack the DNC server in the 2016 election. Based on the reporting, it appears the technology used to hack the election was operated in eastern Ukraine. The discovery of an alleged Russian government hack of a Ukrainian mobile phone app has boosted investigators' confidence that Moscow was behind the hacking of Democratic National Committee servers in the U.S. before the presidential election. That's from cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike. The firm, which was hired by DNC to rebuild its cyber defenses after the attack, said Fancy Bear, which is a code name it assigned to hackers that it believes are associated with Russian military intelligence, the GRU, had implanted malware in an Android mobile phone application used by anti-Russian forces operating in eastern Ukraine. Back to Politico, February 23, 2017. Politico reported that a Ukrainian parliamentarian attempted to contact Paul Manafort, claiming to have politically damaging information about Manafort as well as Trump. Here's what it said. The undated communications, which are allegedly from the iPhone for Manafort's daughter, include a text that appears to come from a Ukrainian parliamentarian named Serhiy Lyshenko, seeking to reach her father, in which he claims to have political damaging information about both Manafort and Trump, Politico said. Well, let's come back across the water to that bastion of impartiality, the New York Times. December 12, 2018, Ukrainian courts ruled that releasing information to Manafort about the 2016 U.S. election was illegal interference. Here's their report. Both lawmakers asserted that if the release of the slush fund information broke the law, then it should be viewed as an illegal effort to influence the United States presidential election in favor of Hillary Clinton by damaging the Trump campaign. That is from the New York Times. So, by now you're probably thinking along the same lines we are. Why the sudden denial of the 2016 Ukrainian election interference when everyone was so sure about it right after the 2016 election? Ukraine has always struggled with government corruption. They depend heavily on its friendly neighbors and those from the West for military and other types of foreign aid. Its proximity to Russia and several other strategic considerations have for 20-plus years kept Ukraine in the political corruption spotlight. There has been so much speculation about Ukraine's interference in our 2016 election and so much demonstrative denial by the media, it's incumbent for the truth to be vetted and passed along to you and other Americans. We, of course, at Truth News Network, that's what we do here. And so, with some outside assistance, we've tracked the Ukrainian 2016 U.S. election interference with great difficulty. What follows is a complete roadmap for all interested in providing proof that Ukraine did attempt 2016 U.S. election interference. As in our normal practice, to make reading of this easier, these details are put in bullet format that are numbered from 1 to 18. Now, please don't get lost in this, folks. It may appear to be a lot of info, but this is a heretofore hidden roadmap showing how to get from point A, which is how U.S. corrupted politicians get to point B. Point B is accessing the U.S. political process in our government for personal gain. Here we go. Number one, the Ukraine Crisis Media Center was founded by George Soros in March of 2014. This organization is Ukraine's version of Media Matters. Number two, Serhiy Leshchenko was a Ukraine member of parliament. Number three, NABU, or NABU, is Ukraine's anti-corruption bureau, is formed, and the executive director is Artem Sitnik. Number four, another non-governmental organization called an NGO was founded by Soros called the ANTAC, Anti-Corruption Action Center. They received $1.7 million in funding, about $1 million from the U.S. Departments of State and DOJ, and $290,000 from Soros' International Renaissance Foundation. That Renaissance Foundation, is the organization that the Obama administration worked through. Number five, NABU and the Obama government were working closely with Soros' NGO, that's Anti-Corruption Action Center, in Ukraine, as John Solomon reported on The Hill. When Ukrainian prosecutors investigated ANTAC over a missing $4.4 million in U.S. funding, they were told to stand down by who? Obama Department of Justice officials. This is the missing money for Joe Biden's son. Biden's son, Hunter, was coordinating activity in Ukraine for the Obama administration. Number six, ANTAC, Obama administration and George Soros together, pushed a Ukrainian investigation into then-Trump campaign manager Manafort's business activities in Ukraine with help from the FBI. Again, according to John Solomon from The Hill. Number seven, on March 21, 2017, Leshchenko and Sitnik held a press conference at the Ukraine Crisis Media Center alleging Manafort took $12.7 million in illegal payments from Ukrainians and made a claim of a black cash box ledger. Number eight, Leshchenko gave that info to Alexandra Chalupa, who is a DNC operative who worked with Hillary Clinton. Both Chalupa and Arapovich, the CEO of CrowdStrike, that Ukrainian firm, are connected to a hard-left authoritarian fascist group in Ukraine. Number nine, April 28th of 2016, Chalupa and Isakov, a Yahoo reporter who was deeply involved with Christopher Steele, held a press conference in D.C. and invited 68 Ukrainian journalists and distributed the dirt on Manafort to all of them. The program was called Open World Leadership Center, held at the Library of Congress. And again, it's connected to George Soros. Number 10, NABU and the Obama administration worked closely with Soros' NGO, ANTAC. When Ukrainian prosecutors investigated ANTAC over a missing $4.4 million in U.S. funding, they were told to stand down by Obama's gang. Again, this is all tied to Hunter Biden and the missing $3 million from Burisma Holdings. When the new prosecutor general Yuri Lutsenko went to meet Obama's ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, he says he was stunned when the ambassador gave me a list of people whom we should not prosecute. Number 11, Chalupa received details of the payments from Leshchenko. Payment detail from 07 to 2012 list advertising, computers, polling, consultant fees, etc. None of the payments or Manafort's signatures were ever confirmed, just alleged. Number 12, Chalupa also passed that black ledger info on to Glenn Simpson at Fusion GPS, who passed them along to DOJ staffer Nellie Orr. Heard that name before? Well, Nellie passed the info along to her husband, Bruce Orr. On May 30th of 2016, Nellie Orr sent an email to Bruce Orr and Justice Department staffers under the subject line, reported trove of documents on Ukrainian party of region's black cash box, which means they were investigating Paul Manafort prior to the July 31st, 2016 inception of Crossfire Hurricane, the legitimate FBI Department of Justice investigation. Number 13, Isakov broke the story on Yahoo on August 18th of 2016, one of the first public mentions of purported collusion with Russia by the Trump team. Manafort had to step down as Trump's campaign manager the very next day. Number 14, in addition, Leshchenko served as a direct source of information for Fusion GPS and their hired researcher, former CIA contractor Nellie Orr. Yes, Nellie received info from Ukrainians directly or through Fusion GPS. to influence a presidential election. It's uncontroverted, folks. Number 15, Orr told congressional investigators on October 19th of 2018, when pressed in her testimony, she recalled for them, quote, mentioning someone named Serhiy Leshchenko, a Ukrainian. She later admitted she knew of Leshchenko before her time at Fusion GPS, as he was a, quote, very well-known Ukrainian anti-corruption activist. Leshchenko had adopted a robust anti-Trump stance because Trump wanted to pursue a more friendly relationship with Russia. And remember, Putin is a nemesis of George Soros. Interesting. Number 16, remember when Manafort was charged with witness tampering by the Mueller special counsel? Manafort's daughter's phone was hacked, and a text message was discovered. It was reported by Politico in late February of 2017. Of course, you saw that story, didn't you? It was reported that a hack of the phone belonging to one of Manafort's daughters revealed a text containing a blackmail threat that Manafort has attributed to Leshchenko. It's not known with any certainty who sent the text, which includes an attachment that references the Yankovic accounting book and lists an email address for Leshchenko. Manafort received additional charges because of that text. Number 17, Leshchenko and Sitnik were found guilty. December 2018, a Kiev court ruled that Leshchenko, along with NABU director Artem Sitnik, acted illegally when they revealed that Manafort's surname and signature were found in the so-called Black Ledger of ousted President Viktor Yanukovych, Party of Regions. That was according to the Kiev Post on December 12th of 2018. And number 18, Leshchenko and Sitnik interfered in an American election. The court noted the material was part of a pretrial investigation, and its release led to interference in the electoral process of the United States in 2016 and harmed the interest of Ukraine as a state. All of that, folks, are accurate accounts, quotations, references to specific stories, testimony, documents, and other information provided by subpoena. Those are the real deal, folks. Where is the media in all this? Now, I know that above 18 list is a lot of information to follow, but it's there for you to go back. You can look at it, you can download it, and feel free to share if you'd like. By way of explanation, as we close today's story, I'm going to ask some pointed and salient questions to at least have all looking and listening in to get on the same page. Just a few questions like, why has there been so much intense interest in Ukraine by the American government during the Obama administration? Why would President Obama appoint his vice president to head the corruption investigations by the U.S. of a foreign nation, a sovereign foreign nation, any sovereign foreign nation? Why would the Ukrainian government, that was rife with corruption already, it was common knowledge all through the earth, investigate corruption of Burisma Holdings during the time Hunter Biden was a member of the board of directors? Why would Vice President Biden even care about Burisma's investigation? A sovereign country and one of that country's privately held corporations. Basically, none of his business. Why would the vice president not only demand the firing of that Ukrainian prosecutor, but give Ukraine 8 hours to fire him or lose $1 billion in foreign aid approved by Congress? Why would any foreign or domestic energy resource company hire Hunter Biden, paying him $83,000 a month to serve on their board of directors with no experience? Are they protecting someone or some others? If so, who and why? So let's fast forward to 2020. Why would so many U.S. news sources vehemently deny Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election after so many news entities, through investigatory research, found and reported previously that Ukraine did interfere in that election? Why would congressional Democrats and former VP Biden push back on Hunter Biden and the former VP testifying before a congressional committee investigating Ukraine corruption? And neither is going to voluntarily testify. Why would Senators Romney and Graham, in light of scads of evidence that prove the U.S. election interference by Ukraine, not just reject the alleged Ukraine interference, but not support the investigation to determine who did it and why and what are the findings. Why would the current FBI Director Christopher Wray deny the Ukraine election interference when so much evidence exists that confirms it? With the 1999 treaty between the U.S. and Ukraine specifically for both countries to collaborate on political corruption in each that pertains to the other, not instigate a formal U.S. investigation into this corruption that John Solomon of the Hill, along with information garnered by others, uncovered? Many feel if such an investigation is allowed to happen, if it's ever allowed to happen, and they start turning over rocks, it's going to lead not only to the Obama White House, but to the Obama Department of Justice, as well as to multiple current and former members of Congress. It may even go to the former Oval Office holder. So in closing, let me ask you this. What's the common piece of evidence? Show me the money. That's a wrap, folks. Busy week ahead. Is there going to be impeachment or not? Well, we're going to find out. Will Nancy really send those articles over, and will the Senate really take them up for a trial? That and much, much more right here. Don't miss a day. Join us every day this week at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long.
The truth. Straight. No chaser. TNN.
The Truth News Network.